we now have our featured guest of the evening joining us, a great actor, a great creative force active in the community, the entertainment community. Now, we're joined by Portland's own Tim True. Tim, how are you this fine, fine evening?
Great, great. Hello. Hello to Portland as well, PDX.
Absolutely. Portland. Now, I've got to ask you, you are not a native Portlandian. You're someone who came from back east, isn't that correct? You came from the big cities back east, isn't that right?
Actually, I grew up in Portland, yeah.
Oh, I thought you moved there. I didn't know that you were born and raised there. Okay.
I was born in Eugene. I was raised in Portland. I went to Grant High School.
Fantastic.
Up there in northeast Portland, yeah. And then after high school, I went to college and I did regional theater. I went to New York. I came back in like 2001, and me and a couple of fellow New York transplants started a theater company there called Third Rail Repertory. That's still going strong, and spent about 12 years in Portland, and then moved to Los Angeles about 5 years ago, just kind of sat down with theater for a short period of time and focused on acting in television, film, and kind of got myself some somewhat solid footing there. Mm-hmm. And now I formed a theater company here in Los Angeles and also a film company. I co-wrote and directed my first feature film that is going out to film festivals right now.
Outstanding. And would you say that Portlandia is a fair representation of what the people are like, what people are really like in Portland?
You know, Portlandia was just coming to town before I left, and I did an episode of that. So I got to work with Fred Armisen and Carrie as well.
It's a great show. It's a great show.
Fantastic show. It was the episode in the first season where they're going to create their own baseball team, and so they had tryouts, but they were really more like auditions,
right?
Than baseball tryouts. So they just had a bunch of jabronis like myself, you know, just kind of showing up. It was great. It was like all improv, and you know, we improvised for, you know, like 10 to 15 minutes with me and Fred and Carrie in my little bit. And then, you know, they edited it down into, you know, just like a little praise. Anyway, but yeah, are the characters. Yeah, I think that, you know, Fred was, you know, when they first came out, you know, he was going public. He was like, no, these are not, you know, he really didn't want to offend the natives of Portland. But honestly, come on. They're absolutely... You can find these people. Sure, they're enlarged or expanded, you know, in order to
of course,
comedically. But you can find aspects of these people walking down the street every day in Portland.
And what is it about Portland that collects this kind of very kind of noticeable, memorable collection of individuals? Because when I meet people from Portland and I watch a bit of Portlandia, I always get the feeling it's like these unique selection of people end up there. What is it about the city that attracts them?
Yeah. Well, I think that you've got this this great recipe. I mean, you've got a very do-it-yourself type culture there. Where independence and entrepreneurship is encouraged and embraced. So you've got a lot of people who want to do things their own way. There aren't a lot of gatekeepers and middlemen in that culture, you know, in that area. So you see things, you know, you see shops that open up and survive for a while, like Portlandia's, like, had a knot shop that was just knots only, you know, they were selling knots. And you could actually, you know, expect maybe to see that on Hawthorne, and then like just putting all their money out there for 6 months until they run out of money and the shop closes.
Just because it sounded like a great idea at the time.
Yeah, I think it would be a cool shot to have just knobs, just sailor knobs.
Wow, all there, ready, willing
to
go.
Yeah, they had like iPhone headphones, like tangled, you know. They were like, and we have, you know, they're just sitting on a pedestal, you know, tangled iPhone headphones.
Now I want to talk about some of the interesting kind of independent projects that you're associated with. But you have a phenomenal CV. You have a phenomenal record of having been a part of a lot of the big TV projects, the big things that have been going on. A lot of our listeners might have glimpsed you in Big Little Lies on HBO. They might have seen you on American Vandal, Netflix. Can I just ask you, before we talk about your current projects, how is it to kind of straddle those two worlds? Golden Age of TV, where such amazing stuff is getting made now compared to, like, Love Boat. And
Love Boat wasn't amazing.
Man, Fantasy Island.
Really?
Are you kidding me?
I love those shows.
Robbing me of my childhood. These are amazing shows.
We're big fans of 70 TV. We like Hello Larry. We remember that show.
I hadn't given a thought to Hello Larry in 30 years when you mentioned it this evening.
But we respect Portland enough to respect that show. So how do you find straddling those two worlds?
Well, I'm not really sure. Like, what's the other world that I'm straddling?
Oh, yeah. the creative artistic theater and the film producing and all of those things outside of the big budget TV shows where you're able to spend some of your time. It's just interesting to see how you can be part of the creative efforts that you are and still be doing, big name TV shows. Like, most people here will have seen Big Little Lies, which was a big hit. American Vandal is unfortunately canceled, but I know you had a good run in that as well.
I made a T-shirt of potential suspects, so yeah, that's pretty cool.
awesome.
Yeah, I'm like right there in the lower left-hand corner or something. As I said, I when I moved here, I needed to set all that stuff down.
Yeah,
the producing theater thing and directing and all that nonsense, so that I could just be present, and reassure my new agents and reassure, the community at large, just by being able to hit every audition. And it took that while to kind of get to know everybody and meet people and go in there and put out consistent, auditions and book some work. And so I think it required that commitment and time. Mm. And now that I've been here a while, I can say, yeah, and also I'm interested in doing this kind of work. And it's really just about just communicating to all the people and, that I'm involved with and letting them know when there are periods of time that I really kind of need to lock it down and work on one thing or another.
You've got your great theater company down here, Door Number 3. You've got a production up and running, Radiant Vermin. I like that as a rock band.
Yeah.
I like it as a play name.
Or baseball team.
Baseball team. It's a great name. So what can you tell us about the company and this production and why our listeners should go out and see it?
Well, Door Number 3 is a company that kind of carries on the values that we had when we created Third Rail in Portland, which are real collaboration, real ensemble work, picking plays that have like a real theatricality versus like something like television or film where things are super realistic. This play is like a perfect example. It's a dark British comedy about a young couple who is gifted this house in this abandoned neighborhood with the premise that, like, if they fix it up, then the whole neighborhood will slowly revitalize.
Right.
And that this offer comes with a bit of an expense. Maybe I'll give it a little away because it is interesting that they learn that they can that magically the house will allow them to fix up each room of the house in like their whatever they're imagining, their dream refurbishment, if they are able to make like a sacrifice.
Oh wow.
What an odd idea. interesting.
Absolutely. It's great. And it becomes this great like kind of social allegory at the same time, and as you kind of watch greed take over these young, really lovely, earnest young people, you see them, kind of shift, and then the way it's presented kind of allows you to kind of think about it a little bit, what kind of choices are myself and the people that I know you know, making that might come at a bit of a social cost. So, yeah, it's got a lot of sugar.
Well, that's a rabbit hole you don't want to go down, Tim. You don't want to start thinking about social cost of the decision.
Right.
You want to avoid that where you can. Can I ask you to tell our listeners the details, the gory details about who, what, when, where, how do they get tickets? Is there a website?
Yeah, absolutely. You can get the tickets at our website, which is dn3theater.org. You can also go online at the Odyssey Theater, because we're presenting it at the Odyssey Theater right there on Sepulveda in Los Angeles. And you can also call them at the box office. Can I give the number there?
Absolutely.
Okay, which is 310-477-2055. And I would also like to make an offer to anybody who's listening who might be interested in supporting our theater, promo code radio. I'd like to offer $10 tickets, which is like
wow. Hey, I like $10.
Cutting the adults from like $32 down to $10. That's a pretty good deal.
Hey, you should also specify DN3 Theater is actually theater with an R E.
Classy,
right?
Yes, classy.
Theater.org.
Yeah, we're not messing around.
Yeah,
this is serious stuff.
This is the real thing.
I want to thank you so much, Portland Zone.
Yes.
Tim True, thank you so much for joining us on The Bigger Picture.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, guys.
My pleasure. Friends and